Joining us on the Kyven Foods guest line is one of our all-time favorite guests, Rocky Blyers. Everyone knows Rocky is a Steelers legend, and he has the 4 Super Bowl rings to prove it. He is perhaps the best storyteller on the planet, and it's always a thrill for us to welcome him back onto the show. Rock, how are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. I mean, what a great lead-in. Thank you, because I know I am a legend in my own mind. I'm better than I ever was before, unlike Mike Wallace. But, I caught your dialogue on Mike Wallace, but you're true. But he's a millennial. Well, do we blame them for their age? You know, is he a selfie? Is that what it is?
Or he's wow, a selfie? You pulling out the young folks lingo
nice.
Here with a selfie.
Pretty good for an old guy.
Yeah,
that's right. So, Mike Tomlin obviously, you know, dominates the news, especially here during this week as they prepare for the Dolphins coming in. You know, and I'm saying this. Okay, listen, for a mere $50,000, I'll take the job to keep you on the sideline.
You'll be the get back guy.
I'll be the guy, you know, just I'll be the guy to keep track of you, and it won't cost you $100,000, or give me the $100,000, you know, and I'll make sure you never take a step on the field, you know. I think part of it, I was talking about with Louis Lips today, about the Tomlin's act, and I like Mike and Mike's, you know, Mike's been a good coach, but I think this is that Mike is a fan, you know, and you can't be a fan when you're a head coach. You can't be watching the jumbo screen or doing things like this. You know, we revert back to Chuck. Chuck was fanatic about not being on the field. I mean, he would turn around in that scary look and move it back, get it back, you know, one way or the other. And continuous reminders, you know, not to be on the field. Now, Chuck would never be watching a jumbotron, you know, like what is happening here, you know, and be on the field. And so I think that in some regards, young coaches today, like Mike Tomlin, you know, I mean, you have an offensive coordinator, you have a defensive coordinator, you have your assistant coaches. What do? You watch the game, and you're
right.
A fan. So you're going, oh, what's happening here? And all of a sudden, you find yourself, you know, on the field watching the jumbotron. You know, God, what's because? And I think that's a change or a difference because you're not calling the plays, you're not sending in the offensive plays, or conferring with the defensive guys about, you know, what's the coverage here. You know, you kind of, during the game, you kind of become a fan. You pat the guys on the back when they come off, or you shake your finger at them when they're not doing well.
Right.
And so I think that Mike caught himself as being a fan and watching what's happening like everyone else, on that afternoon. But I do agree with you on this is that, you know, okay, you got fine, you know, got his finger shaking at him, you know, don't be doing this. But, you know, to lose a draft choice is if it comes down to that, is protestable on my part, is that should not be, and that would be a disservice to the Steelers and the organization, because it wasn't as if he tripped the guy or he ran into him, you know.
Came close.
And, well, or that he would have even scored. You know, I don't give him that much credit, that he had, you know, would have made it to a score if Tomlin wasn't on the sideline. So I just think that you're right. I don't think that it should, they lose a draft choice over that.
Right. Well, a loss of a draft choice could set a team back. You know, I mean, you know, if you're talking about a 7th round draft choice or a 6th round draft choice, okay. Then, you know, the price isn't steep. But if you're looking at a mid round draft pick, now, repercussion for years.
For years, you know, it could. I mean, that's where you build your team, or hopefully you build your team, you know, on those picks.
Right.
So, anyway. But that's my feeling about what had just taken place. But good comments on Wallace coming in.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, you gotta believe that, A, you know, I don't like guys who proclaim to be, you know, great. You know, greatness is achieved, you know, on the field, not you know, in the media. And two, you got to believe he's going to hear it from Steeler fans when he, you know, when the game kicks off.
Well, let us just hope this, that our illustrious cornerbacks are up for the task of being able to shut them down. You know, I don't want William Gay to be, you know, looking all over saying, well, what's the defense or what's happening here? So,
yeah, we don't want William Gay lining up across the field from too many people. And Mike Wallace isn't one of them.
That's right. You're right. You're right. You know, like, who is that that just flew by me? Anyway, so we would like them all to have a good game and be able to stop them.
Well, you got to believe Ike Taylor's going to be on him no matter where he goes, and you also think Clark is going to cover over top.
Well, that's right. You know, and hopefully, I mean, you got Ryan and you got Ike Taylor, but, you know, I got a lot of confidence in those guys, but the last couple weeks, it's like, okay, who is not covering who and who missed what? I mean, there was a couple questions. And unfortunately for Ike, he was in the vicinity, so he gets the finger pointed at, you know, it's his fault. And I understand enough that, you know, there's some other support mechanisms and some other coverages that need to be, you know, filled. I can't cover everybody at the same time. It makes him look like that. But if you're in that position, you're going to get pointed at and you're going to get, you know, taking the blame for that catch or the yardage that has been gained and so on. So, you know, if the defense gets their signals together and, you know, if Troy keeps it under control, you know, and doesn't go blasting off on his own somewhere, you know, thinking that he can do something, you know, then they should be able to take care of Wallace and company to the best of their ability.
So when you assess, you know, some of the, you know, things you allude to, when you assess how the Steelers defense has played this year, I mean, the offense is a whole another can of worms, but the defense and, you know, Troy and where they're at, you know, is this a defense that can put it together and, you know, where the season's over for all intents and purposes at this point, unless some miracle run happens. But is this a defense that can come back, or do they really got to look at it and go, you know what, these guys have all seen better days. We got a couple of building blocks
and those decisions are tough decisions to make. And I think there are some questions about that. You know, I don't want to point. Yeah, well, anyway, I mean, Brett Kiesel's been around, you know, and he's been hurt, and Brett's been a big part of that defensive line. From a leadership role, you know, but he's going to have to, you know, this might be his last season. You know, and I everybody loves Troy. Everybody loves Troy. But Troy's had his injuries, you know, and he's not as effective as he was being in the, what position, like the renegade, you know, position, the freelance linebacker / secondary strong safety cover / wild man, you know, and so it just hasn't been that effective, and, you know, and so, and this is what, his 10th, 11th season?
Right, 10th year.
Yeah, right. So, you know, and so you got to start thinking about, okay, who's going to take place? And Ryan Clark is what, 11 years?
Mm-hmm.
I think. And so it's not that, and Ryan's had a great season. I'm not taking anything away from him. It's just that, you know, they're just getting older, in that defense. And I'm not saying that there's anybody coming up to really take the place, of that defense. And
right.
The other thing is, okay, how long it'll be interesting in the change. Do you think that, you know, let me see, it's like one injury to my head too often is a defense coordinator, please.
Oh, Dick LeBeau.
Yeah, Dick LeBeau. Okay, fine. So Dick. So, I mean, how long is Dick going to be? Dick's 76 years old? 75?
76.
Yeah. You know, and he's a great coach, you know, so if Dick decides to retire, this offseason, you know, that's going to change that whole defense, and it's going to change your belief, and it's going to change, credibility, and of whoever takes over. And so, And so Dick has that with his players, although he can't, you know, and I think that they've been doing as best as they can defensively. They could have done better, but defensively, with the talent that they have and the injuries that they've had to work around, to be able to be in the position that they are. In this league, and I say in this league, even as offensive oriented as it is, it's still the defense. The defense be able to, you know, stop the opponent, be able to cut down the receiving yards and or stop the run, whatever that may, it's the defense that sets the tone. And they always believe this, that they can keep their opponent under 17 points.
Right.
That they'll win the game. And they've been, you know, they've been around that. Offensively, obviously, we've got our own problems there, just within the injuries that have taken place and the substitutions and people working together. We had it going for a while and we could get a couple more injuries. And so we got an erratic running game because of that. Pass protection because of playing with injuries hasn't been the best. But yet we've been in the game. You know, I mean, we've been in, there's a Steelers fan. We waited till the fourth quarter at times, you know, to come back. Even last week's Baltimore game. I mean, that was an exciting game for a fan perspective, not necessarily a Steeler fan perspective.
Right.
But we got to the point where you could tie it. You know, you could go for the 2 points, and that's a position that you want to be in, and you got to make that catch. And you got to make those points, and we haven't been able to do that consistently over the years, although we're in that position. So it's not as if we've dominated. You know, it's not as if it's been a kind of a, you know, we can come back and do it. It's like, you know, like glue and tape, and, you know, we finally get there, and, you know, it's got a potential. We get a big play, and we bring it up, and sometimes we fall short, as we have too many cases. But so let us just. And you know, here's a couple things. Let's take a look at character. Let's take a look at the character of the team. You know, in all aspects, if they end up 9-7,
win out.
They have a chance, huh? They got to win out. I mean, they got to win out. They got to win out. Can they win out? Yes, they can win out. You know, I think they got the capability of being able to win out. If they can win out, you know, they got a chance to be a wild card. They got a chance to be a wild card, but but it's in their hands. They have to do it. So it'll be interesting to see if they step up to reach that challenge or to meet that challenge. They have the capability of doing it. As we play Cincinnati and Cleveland, again, and you know, we need to beat, actually, you know, we need to beat them as we all know. And so if they can do that, you know, that'll be a miracle, but, you know,
you're being
miracles happen. We saw it last week with Auburn. Miracles happen. Anything can happen in this silly game.
So, Rock, you know, the show is being broadcast now on the Armed Forces Radio Network.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You are. Congratulations, guys.
Hey, thank you.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You did.
I know you're on your website on RockyBlyer.com. You're got a kind of holiday promotion, if you will, with your book Fighting Back, and with proceeds going to NeverForgetVets.org. Talk to our listeners about that.
I'm glad you brought that up because I would have forgotten. And that was the Christmas promotion. Oh man, Gloria, my assistant, will take me to task if I didn't to mention this. Yes, we do. You know, we do. We do have a Christmas promotion. So if you go to RockyBlyer.com, as you had mentioned, Chris, all you have to do is click on the promotion and it's right there. But, it's my book and, an autographed copy of my book. And the proceeds are going to veterans' causes. In this case specifically to the veterans, leadership program, that is so essential, for our returning troops and to be able to give them the transitional capability coming back and dealing with at times the leaving of the service and or making the adjustments of coming back to their family life after they've been overseas or on deployment and in some place. And so it's dear to my heart and as all veteran movements are. And so I wanted to do something for this for this Christmas promotion. And, you know, in the book Fighting Back is a story of my life and overcoming those obstacles of being in Vietnam and what it was like, and playing with the, you know, with the Steelers during that period of time, and obviously winning the Super Bowls. So we just wanted to make that an offer, and I do appreciate you giving me the chance to make that that pitch, and have your listeners, if they like the last minute Christmas present, and to someone that they can get that they can get that done. They go to RockyBlyer.com and they'll see the banner and click on it. So right. I do appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely.
It won't be last minute, Rocky, because you know everybody still, you know, has plenty of time. You know, they'll go out the day or day before, do a little online shopping. So we got plenty of time, right? Plenty of time to get a signed Rocky book.
That'll be plenty. That's right, because it'll be like the week before. Oh, yeah, geez, maybe we can get that. You know, can I get it? Yeah.
Can I get it tomorrow?
Deliver it personally. Pardon? Yeah, can I get it tomorrow? Yeah, overnight. If I can get it there, I'll fly it there personally, and it might cost you like $1,000. But anyway, you'll get it.
Worth every time, Rocky.
$1,000 for a hand-delivered by Rocky Blyer autograph book? Now, that could be a heck of a
That could be it, you know. I'll stop over. We can have a Christmas party. Give me a little time.
Right.
You know, it's true. We'll sing some carols. We'll sing some carols, and I'll deliver the books.
I know what I want for Christmas. I know my parents are listening. So now you know what to get me for Christmas.
I know what to get
you
for Christmas.
Get ready to fly to Georgia, Rocky.
I just came from there.
You're going back.
Is that right?
Yeah, I'm going back. Yeah, that's right. Yes, I was there today. But anyway, and so now I'm back here.
All right. So, Rock,
all right.
You know, one more thing before we let you go. And, you know, we had Elsie Greenwood on the show about three times in the last 18 months, and we become friends with Elsie, and it's torn both of us up that he's no longer with us. I'll carry his distinctive laugh in the corners of my mind forever.
Forever.
But I just wanted to get a thought from you on Elsie.
You know, Elsie, obviously, for those, you know, listeners who are on Steeler fans, Elsie was, you know, one of the four members of the Steel Curtain.
Right.
You know, came out of a small college, Arkansas A&M, in a big lanky, I think he was 11th round pick, big lanky defensive player. And he fit in well with what we were trying to accomplish at that time, and as a defensive end. But you've got this deep laugh that you will, and very distinctive kind of you know. A great leader in the locker room. Actually, you know, one of my favorite stories is that, you know, LC's nickname for me. You know, Elsie, nicknames are great things that you have in locker rooms. You grow up in the neighborhood, you know, with nicknames. Everybody has a nickname, whether it be, you know, a pronunciation of your name or a physical feature that you might have that people like to point out, and you carry it for the rest of your life, or something that you did that people remember, you know. And Elsie's nickname here was Hollywood Bags. We always called him, you know, Hollywood Bags, because his bags were always packed, because he wanted to go to Hollywood at one time. He wanted to play for the Rams. And so it was just one of those things that, you know, it became Bags, you know, just all the way shortened. So mine was the Juice. So he'd always call me Juice, the Juice. And that had taken place back in 1973, actually. Just a little story on the side. We were playing a playoff game, and it was against the Buffalo Bills, and they had O.J. Simpson.
Right.
And all the press was about O.J. Simpson. All the press was about O.J. and what he'd done. He'd run for 2,000 yards. You know, and he was a dominant player. They got the Bills into the playoff. And so how are you going to stop O.J. Simpson? How are you going to stop the Juice, to come in? And so, LC said, hey, you know, they may have O.J., but we have our own Juice. Rocky Blyer. Prune Juice. Slow and steady. And that was it. So from the, so for,
before then, I was on prune juice. It was all, it was prune juice and it was juice until, all because of LC. And yeah, what a great guy. And we do miss him, and, you know, because he was such a big part of this team and community. Yeah.
Right. Well, thank you for sharing that story, Rock. It's always.
Welcome.
It's always a privilege having you on the show. We can't thank you enough for continuing to come back. We hope you'll continue to do so periodically.
I do. Very much so.
Hey. You are the best storyteller on the planet.
Well, thank you. I thank you. And hey, thanks for reminding me of the plug, too, just for the Christmas holidays. Well, RockyBlair.com. Go and get my book and, you know, make it a present for somebody. And we'll send it out to you. And we'll make
thank
sure
you
get
Rock.
It before Christmas. Okay. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Angela.
All right, take care, Rock.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Always the best, Ed. Always the best storyteller. No question. Love, Rock.
Oh, he never runs out. I think one of these times he's going to run out, and he just never does.
No, absolutely does not.